This episode of Radio Radar was brought to you by Best Buy. You can pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 2 at Best Buy or BestBuy.com now. Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 15 of Radio Radar. A short episode, because Thanksgiving and turkeys and us being tired.
The Wii U killing us.
Literally killed us.
We're all dead now. These are our ghosts. We're haunting you. You're being haunted. I'm your host, Hollander Cooper. Here with me in studio is
Tom Agrino,
and of course
Henry Gilbert. Hey,
and we've all been going crazy in the last few weeks, trying to cover as much content as possible. Mm-hmm. That's why there are like 15 Wii U reviews on the site, and more going up every day.
I don't think we actually have a Wii U review.
We will by the time this article
That's
posts.
That's true.
By the time this is up.
I did 5 reviews in 1 week, which is a personal best for me.
Reviews for Wii games. Oh, mm-hmm. they were not full reviews, though.
Some of them were.
Most of them, I only reviewed one port. That was Batman. All the rest were for original games.
Oh, fine work.
In 1 weekend, I had my Epic Mickey and my Hitman and my Zombie U review go up. And that's... Oof. That's around 40 hours of game right there.
Yeah.
Granted, I luckily started getting them like a month ago.
Right.
But man, was that just like playing Zombie U on like Friday night and just like, oh God, I have to finish this or else I'm going to be murdered. It was rough, but you know what? It's worth it to look at the smiles on all of your digital faces when you tell us we're assholes who reviewed the games wrong.
Yeah, it's worth it.
It makes it worth getting up in the morning knowing that you're going to tell me that I'm a biased, corrupt journalist that should have given a game 1 point higher because I was bought out.
Right.
That's what really drives us.
That's good.
But we're not bitter.
Totally not bitter.
Not at all. But we're still happy. We're excited about the Wii U.
But,
you
assholes!
And
we actually didn't get that much hate.
No, not really. I looked and there were 30-some comments on my Mass Effect Wii U review, which I didn't expect. And then I read the top one, so the most recent one, and it was like, Ocarina of Time aside, the good work on this review, Cooper. And I'm just like, what the fuck is he talking about? 20 of those 30 comments started when somebody's like, man, Assassin's Creed 3 sucks. And then someone said, saying Assassin's Creed 3 sucks is like saying Ocarina of Time sucks. And then somebody's like, Ocarina of Time does suck. Just giant argument about Ocarina of Time. Yeah. And I'm like, where the hell is this coming from? Why are these people arguing about this?
And thank God they're hating on Ocarina of Time. And
not me. Yeah. God.
And people really liked our live stream, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Our live stream went over well. We had 1,600 people watching a majority of it, which is not bad for a live stream at like midnight on a Saturday.
Yeah. I had to miss it, and I'm sorry that I wasn't there to share my Nintendo expertise.
Did you realize how there in spirit you were because we used your Mii for everything?
Yeah, you were using
because your Mii was the default one on there. So every game we played that used a Mii,
you were there, everyone.
Henry.
All right,
there you go. You were technically, and the entire time I'm just like, he'd be happy to know that he's the one running away in a Mario suit from a bunch of toads.
Yeah, I do.
That was
my first group experience with the Wii U, and it was
it improved your.
It was good. You were
lukewarm on it before then.
I mean, in the same way that I'm very lukewarm on a lot of Wii, like the Wii. If it's in a party setting, it's awesome. It's totally great.
Now, Cooper and I have bought our own systems. Are you thinking of, you think you're going to buy one, Tom?
I will buy one because this is my job.
Okay. I mean,
that's the kind of enthusiasm I like from a Games Radar employee.
If I liked it, if I didn't like it, doesn't matter.
By the end of the year, though, you think you'll buy it?
Or what's that?
By the end of the year?
Or? I'm going to buy it as soon as I... can find
see one.
I have been told
I didn't pre-order it, but
I've been told they're actually pretty easy to find. Like, you might want to.
They're
stop
resupplying
by...
pretty quickly. Nope. Like Nintendo, when Nintendo said like, "Hey, we really hope to keep them in store shelves," they were not messing around because they know that if they had the Wii on store shelves, intentionally manufactured shortages notwithstanding, they know they would have sold more units, and they don't want to mess that up again.
I heard our local Target has one right now.
Yep.
Literally one. Right now.
And it just sold.
Oh, God damn it. To Henry, who bought a second one. So
because
of that, we're just going to do the – because of all of the stuff we just talked about and the fact that we're not done yet because we still have a day in the office and 3 days to write for.
it's actually
– short show.
We're going to – Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 4 days.
4 days.
4 days.
Yeah. So our friends in the UK are going to cover some of that because they're not lucky enough to have murdered – a few hundred thousand Native Americans to mm-hmm. celebrate this day.
I'm pretty sure they murdered their
I guess they technically murdered them, but I mean, they washed their hands of it quicker than we did.
I think the people who actually murdered the Native Americans were still at the time British.
Yeah. Technically.
Yes.
They were all...
So, there's missions in Assassin's Creed 3 where you need to burn smallpox blankets.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
I forgot about that. I was so happy when I found that mission because they're just like, yeah, we'll give them the blankets and they'll be wiped out. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, man. I wonder if there was actually that much malicious intent behind the whole smallpox.
Probably.
Like, do you think they literally said... We can wipe them from the face of the planet.
Well, no, they wouldn't have known that. They wouldn't have known that much about science, I would think. But I bet it was just like a dick move. Like
they
this
would
will make
just be like,
all...
"Well,
yeah,
I mean, people
totally
like during the Dark Ages, people did load plague rats onto catapults and launch them into cities."
But that was legitimate war.
I mean, but like they knew mm-hmm. they know how disease spreads,
right?
So they weren't like. And you have to imagine that the small they could have washed the blankets in boiling water before they just were like, "Hey, Native Americans, you guys look cold.
Have a blanket."
I'm sorry. Hey, savages.
Right.
It was
insert
nice
British
of them
accent.
To teach us how to use corn, though. That
yeah.
was very nice.
That was...
We appreciate it.
They taught us how to make mazes out of them, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mazes.
And nothing else.
So, the top seven is related to the Wii U because the Wii U just came out. And it's the top seven reasons the Wii U might win the next console generation. Mm-hmm. There's been a little debate in the article about in the comments whether or not it is technically a next gen console.
Right.
But mm-hmm. you could have said the same about the Wii.
If Nintendo
and I think it counted.
If Nintendo chooses to start the next gen with current gen graphics, that's their right.
And they did it last time.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, it is very difficult this gen to identify what makes it. I feel like in the past it's been very clear what has made something current gen and what makes mm-hmm. it next gen.
The graphics have gotten... I mean, this most recent gen was the easiest because it was HD.
Exactly.
The Wii U didn't, but it was still close enough.
I mean, I feel like even... Like, the graphics have substantially improved between, say, PlayStation and PlayStation 2.
Yeah, but meanwhile, if you look at the graphics from, like, the beginning of the Xbox 360 to the current day, yep. you'd think that was a separate generation.
No, totally.
So generations are kind of blurring. Either way, here are some reasons Nintendo could win the next gen, starting with number seven, they won the last one.
Yeah.
Now, historically, I don't believe many developer or console makers have won three generations in a row. Usually they have like a quick, like presidential 8-year kind of reign where they get like the NES one and then the Super Nintendo one.
I mean,
that
if
was
you're looking at
pretty
handhelds,
much unanimous. The handhelds are their own sort of beast.
Right.
Like the mm-hmm. we'll bring up handhelds okay. later.
Yeah,
but in terms of like consoles, you had NES, SNES, mm-hmm. and then you had PS1, PS2.
So one thing I'll point out about that comparison is NES was the first console, the first Nintendo made console. SNES was the second. PlayStation was the first Sony-made console. PlayStation 2 was the second. Wii is not the first.
No, but there was no first in that generation.
There was no what?
There was no nobody.
Everybody
there was nobody's
was
first generation. Yeah. The last gen.
I know.
So
I know. I'm just
that's,
pointing
it
out.
It could technically be that too.
What I
yeah, but the Xbox didn't win its generation.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So the first.
Sort of.
The PS2 sold.
I mean, if you look at
the PS2 beat the Xbox.
I'm talking about the Xbox 360.
Oh, well, that wasn't
there
the first.
There is an argument to be made that, well, no. I'm not going to make that.
No, no.
There's an argument to be made, but I'm not dumb enough to make that argument.
If you think about consoles in terms of how much software they sell, then the Xbox One, hands down.
Yes, yeah.
But the Xbox
360.
Yeah, but the...
And we're talking about console hardware.
Sure, console hardware.
I'm fine.
I mean,
I think if you look at the history of home consoles, though, I think it goes like... Somebody wins two, and then in both the case of the N64 and the PS3, the hubris, they have such hubris after winning two in a row that they're like, we can do whatever we want. We can have...
We'll set our own trends.
We'll charge $600 for it, or we won't go to CD-ROMs. We're still going to use cartridges. And both like stuff like that killed, well, didn't kill, but it did make them third place.
So on that same note, it's kind of funny to think that with everything moving towards digital... When it comes to handhelds, Nintendo may have been able to sidestep CDs or mm-hmm. like for the entire every handheld. They're just like, let other people do that shit. We're just gonna wait it out.
Well,
but,
as UMD's proved, you don't use discs on a handheld after all.
But like I said, historically two wins in a row is common because momentum is super important, and the Wii definitely had momentum. Mm-hmm. You could argue that that momentum died like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there is a caveat.
That is the other argument. Yeah.
The other argument is that momentum died 2 years ago, or that momentum was caused just by hype. Mm-hmm. And carried them from no units to 90 million units.
Like
and
a that, stroke of luck from their marketing campaign?
Yeah, their marketing campaign mixed with Wii Sports, which is probably single-handedly responsible for half of those sales.
Probably.
Well, and also, I think it helps to be first. Like Wii U, you know, will I think it'll continue because it's the first out of the gate.
Yeah.
Well, but 360 was first.
And yeah. Software-wise, it won. Yeah. There's reasons on both sides, as I wrote in the article, for all of these.
I guess it's also worth pointing out that nobody actually lost, because I'm sure
they all
Xbox
in the end turned a profit.
Right.
Nintendo turned the biggest profit because they were making – every other company was losing money since day one. Nintendo was selling cheaper hardware to make at a profit, and that's why they have like – what did we figure out last time? Like $12 billion or something stupid like that.
Yeah,
like
14,
so much
yeah.
– I like how you looked it up for the same reason I wanted to, because it's like I bet they don't have that many billions. And then we looked it up and it's like, oh, wow, they do have that many billions.
Cash on hand.
They have so much money.
And Sony like recovered in 2009 from like one of the worst launches ever. Like by the end of 2009, they were finally –
fuck it. They stuck the landing.
And then they got hit by a tsunami.
Yes.
And then they got hit by a global recession.
And then also the hacking.
And there was the hacking.
Oh, that hack.
Number
Although the
six.
Hacking cost them about $170 million, and the tsunami cost them like $1.5 billion.
Yeah, so it's – ugh. It was a different. Mess. Yes. Yeah. Number six, the second screen really is innovative. So we've played – I mean, I've played probably about 10 Wii U games. Henry probably about the same.
Mm-hmm.
And though some games do legitimately just go like, look, there's a map.
Mm-hmm.
You could look at the same trend that the DS had, where the first mm-hmm. First half of the DS games were like, hey, don't you see? We put a map on the bottom screen. A lot of games have proven that it is entirely possible to create a completely new gameplay experience just because of the Wii U gamepad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at any of the Nintendo Land games. They all show the potential for the gamepad, and it really does prove that at least there's something to it.
And it was also something I couldn't really realize playing around with it on a like at a trade show, playing around with it was not the same as having it in your home. Like it really is.
Right.
When you can do what you will with it at your leisure, like I agree. This was a tweet I saw from Ben Kuchera, and I agree with this that like – every Wii U game should let you play it on the gamepad only if you want.
See, I actually disagree with that because that's super limiting because then you have to imagine any game. Like Zombie U, it would be impossible to do that.
Yes.
And then you're saying – like you're literally saying this thing is only a second screen.
That's true.
But if you look at like Zombie U, that's a game that uses it to its full potential in many ways where it uses it as an encumbering – clumsy device that your character actually needs. Like when you look – if in a survival horror game, if you're looking through a bag for your grenade, you should have to take your eye off of the zombies. You shouldn't be able to pause time. It uses the clumsiness and the inherent idea that you're holding a goofy device to its advantage. And thinking about all of the games that can take advantage of that, it's super interesting.
So do we see the gamepad being the new motion control that
–
well, Sony has already kind of adopted – with remote play.
And Xbox adopted it with Smart Glass
right.
in a way. But
sort of.
Neither
I still
is
don't really
in.
Follow
no,
Smart
but the,
Glass.
No, but the difference in my mind is it's hard. You can – from day one, we were like motion controls are cool, but I don't see in their current form before the Motion Plus, before Kinect,
yep.
what they can actually add. Right now they're just replacing a button with shake this controller. The gamepad is legitimately – a completely new device that you're able to use. I mean, having a second screen in general, if you look at the DS, there have been so many amazing games that are just flat out – they would have to completely do them differently if they were on another console.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the gamepad's the same way. Even though there aren't that many games that really show it now, I think the gamepad is completely not perfect, but it was an incredibly smart move. And originally I thought it was a stupid idea. But the more to play with it, it is pretty comfortable after you get used to it a little bit, which, I mean, it only takes like a day or two. It's just it is a really, really good controller.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows a completely new way of playing.
Mm-hmm.
But
I agree.
The battery sucks.
Battery,
and
totally.
There's a good chance that third parties are just going to completely ignore it.
So I don't know how the battery works, but is it something that a third party can
it's
address?
It's easy to replace the battery. If a third party made a longer-lasting one, you don't even have to, like, void your warranty to replace the battery.
Okay.
And I actually expect there's going to be, like, a new think about, like, the DS replacement batteries that have, like, a grip built into it.
Yep.
I imagine that there's going to be stuff like that, too. That said, it also comes the charging dock that comes with the Deluxe. I just have it next to my couch. Whenever I'm not playing it, that's where it goes. It makes more sense than just throwing it on my table.
Mm-hmm.
And they smartly made the charging cord. If you look at, like, the Xbox charging cord, it's like a big, thick cord. The Wii U's one is super thin and really long. So they know that you're going to be keeping this thing tethered if you're playing a long game.
I see. Mm.
So it's not – that's a – it's definitely a an asterisk. It's not the – that is a mistake in it. But I don't think it's a deal breaker.
Yep.
Number five, powerful hardware hasn't helped a console win a generation in years. So the Vita is, like you talked about it last week, being outsold 46-1 in Japan to the 3DS. The PSP, though it did respectable in its own right, did nothing near what the DS did. The Wii sold more units. The PS2 beat out the Xbox and the GameCube, even though it was the least powerful.
Is that true?
Yeah, the PS2 was the least powerful. Yeah, that's why the ports the ports it got of, like, Resident Evil 4 were much weaker, even though it came out later.
Hmm.
And then the N60 or the PS1, even the PS1 could have better visual capabilities for because of the disc for, like, videos, but in actual like horsepower, the N64 did have it beat, which is why at the end of the generation you had Conker's Bad Fur Day on the 360, and on the PS1 you still didn't have that much impressive outside of pre-rendered video.
But yeah, like you could do more polygons on screen, better textures, and
The Wii U, most likely, unless Sony or Microsoft throws a complete curveball, is going to be the weakest of the next gen.
Probably. Mm-hmm. I mean. Probably.
No, I mean, I wouldn't be that shocked by, like, Sony being like, fuck it, you know what? Let's just make, like, a PS 3.5.
I mean, it's just a hard statement to make because Microsoft and Sony haven't actually
But they've shown that they're going to be running on the next. It's pretty much confirmed that they're going to be running on the next Unreal Engine, which probably can't run on the Wii U.
Probably, but we don't know.
But Epic's pretty much said it.
Xbox would.
They've sort of come. They're not saying it, but they're like, we're not really looking at it.
Yeah.
I don't think Microsoft would do anything with that couldn't run Unreal 4 or whatever the next Crytek engine is. I do. Sony is in a weirder spot. I was just doing, like, the math on this recently of, like, there's nothing we know about. There's so few games we know about that come out after May of next year, except for Beyond and Last of Us and Last Guardian. All three of those, if they don't come out in the first half of the year, would be very good holiday releases for 2013. But if that's the case, why would Sony launch a new console when they've got three giant games for the PS3?
So just point of clarification. Unreal Engine 4, they have said, will run on the Wii U.
It will.
But they are not supporting it. Unreal Engine 3 is a really good fit for the platform.
Okay.
Is what they're saying.
So, but the fact that they're still developing the Unreal Engine 4 means that there's probably going to be console hardware that will run it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sure bet, but the issue is, or the reason that this is a benefit is powerful hardware. One of the big knocks against the Wii U is it doesn't have the hardware that the next gen is capable of. It can't compete with a crazy high-tech gaming PC now, which is around where the next gen is probably going to land.
Mm-hmm.
But that's actually not a big deal, is what I'm kind of saying.
Right.
Number four.
Head start.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier. Had a head start. Has at least a year.
I forgot that was an entry. Sorry.
No, it's fine. We don't really have to talk about it much, but having a year head start is helpful.
But I don't know. Is this another case of has a head start ever actually resulted in a victory?
PS2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, so technically you'd say – oh, wait. No. Yeah, the PS2 did. I was going to say PS1, but – yeah, the Sega beat it to market with the Saturn in a very bad way.
Yeah, but I mean the PS2 coming out that much earlier, it gets you that big install base. Mm-hmm. I feel like if the Xbox and the PS3 would have launched side by side, it would have been – I mean, you still probably would have had the Xbox outselling it because of the price difference. But it also gives you a year to make things cheaper.
Right.
So that this time next year, if Microsoft and Sony are launching $600 systems, Nintendo could say like a $50 price cut. It's been a year, whatever, and it gives you time to build an audience. So when they're courting developers, like, look, we have 20 million consoles sold.
I think other thing also is like when you're coming out early, like with the Xbox, the 360, you are giving developers more time to get adjusted to your platform. So like when invariably there's a game that's coming out on the 360 and the PS3, developers will have a year advantage having worked on the 360. So they'll be more comfortable and better able to make a prettier game and a better running game.
Definitely.
But also like what you come out with a year later will be better than anybody's launch lineup. Like I remember when the PS3 came out, it had Resistance. Well, meanwhile, 360 just got Gears. And Gears slaughters Resistance.
Yeah, you have to imagine that no matter what Sony and Microsoft have at launch, it's probably, again, we know nothing.
Right.
But if Nintendo's prepping even a 3D Mario or a Metroid or something for holiday 2013, it's going to be, as long as it's up to par with what they're usually presenting, a 9 or a 10, where most launch titles kind of fall below that just because they're still learning out what the new system can do. Or it's just going to be a slightly higher texture, higher poly count version of a game that you could get on another system.
Call of Duty.
And this is kind of predicated on developers treating the Wii U as a next-gen platform as opposed to the same generation as a 360 PS3. Because if they're continuing to build their games as if they're 360 PS3 games, they're probably not going to get the same advantage.
That's true, but Nintendo still will. Like, Nintendo, the first part, they live and die by first party anyway.
Yeah, so. I mean, we were talking about that, the idea that I don't need a Mario game in HD.
Like, I think you think that until they finally deliver on it and you see how good it'll look.
Yeah, I mean,
that new Super Mario Bros. U.
That's You don't need a 2D platforming Mario in HD. You need a Mario Galaxy in HD. I don't think anyone's going to argue that like New Super Mario Bros. 2 or New Super Mario Bros. U looks better in HD than it would be in standard def. But that's not demonstrating the power of HD. But when you play even like the Zelda minigame in Nintendo Land, thinking like, holy shit, imagine an actual Zelda game that looks this good, or a Mario game, like the world looks all plushy. Imagine like a Kirby's Epic Yarn, like a 3D or a 3D Yoshi's Story kind of game in like a fabric-y world.
Yeah.
How amazing that would look with the HD technology. It could definitely be a major step up from what we got last gen. And Nintendo was able to do so much with so little.
Yeah. With Skyward Sword and Mario Galaxy, like both those proved they could squeeze a ton out of that system. And so when they got that good at squeezing good graphics out of a GameCube, what would they be able to do with something on par with a PS3? Like, I'm really excited to see what that would
look
like.
Yeah, and if you just look at there's people who have emulated Wii games in HD. And like Skyward Sword looks almost as good as a current Xbox 360 game just because of the style Nintendo put on it. Now imagining them, like you said, with what they can do with a little bit more power. It's just – it has me super excited.
Yeah.
Number three, it already has a fairly strong game library, especially compared to what you get at most launches. I mean the PS3 at launch had Resistance, which I've never cared for the Resistance franchise, probably because I hated Resistance 1 so much. The Xbox at launch had Perfect Dark Zero.
Oof.
And the Wii at launch, I mean, it had Wii Sports and a port of a GameCube game, but it still wasn't strong. Meanwhile, you have the first new Mario since the N64 at launch.
Yeah.
You have Nintendo Land, which is a much deeper game than Wii Sports was. You have Scribblenauts. What?
Third-party stuff.
Third-party stuff.
Some of the best stuff that came out last year is now.
And like, if you're somebody who stuck to the Wii, and there are a lot of people, surprisingly, that were just like, I bought a Wii. There's enough games on the Wii to get me across.
Batman's going to blow your mind.
Mass Effect 3, even though it's not the best way to play it.
Right. Assassin's Creed 3, the same.
Yeah, there are so many games you can jump into. And it's not even like, we take for granted. I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't a lot of people out there who have played all those games. But like, let's say you've played Assassin's Creed and Mass Effect, but you didn't pick up Darksiders. Or Batman. You just haven't gotten to them yet.
Right.
You might as well buy them on your shiny new system that you could play in your bed while not looking at the TV.
Right.
So Nintendo does have a nice stable of third-party support and a pretty good number of third-party exclusives. Zombie U isn't an amazing game, but it's still a really good – it's probably the most tech demo-y game on the system.
Yep.
And it's a pretty cool time, and I'm really looking forward to playing through it again now that all the online features are actually turned on.
Well, and even though some of their ports, like some of their ports are old, like in the case of Batman, more than a year old, they did get, you know, Assassin's Creed 3 basically like 2 weeks after it came out on
the other
console.
Same with Call of Duty. They got
it
like the week after.
Yeah, 1 week at most. Yeah, so.
Did you say there were problems with Call of Duty?
No.
I've heard Mass Effect has some problems.
Mass Effect has some minor audio. The audio sounds a little tinny and hollow. Okay. The biggest problem with Mass Effect is that, as I apparently talked about on the show last week, according to the Radio Radar Quotes Twitter, there's no reason for you to buy it on this system if you could even ever consider buying it on the other systems just to play the prequels.
I so regret like not having my Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2 saves for Mass Effect 3.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
I change gamer tags between...
Why would you do that? You can just change your gamer tag with...
It's complicated and not appropriate for
this
show.
That's fine. You buried your Xbox with a hooker you killed. I understand. Everyone respects that. But yeah, it has a ton of pretty big third-party games and like Scribblenauts Unlimited, which is probably one of the best games on the console.
Yeah.
And I know it's whether or not it needs to be in HD or not, New Mario. That's freaking huge. At first, it's a really good New Mario. It puts the last few New Marios to shame.
Yeah, I've heard a couple people like Nintendo Power, their reviewer thought New Mario 2 was better than New Mario U, but no.
You
are a crazy person if you think that. Sorry.
That's fair.
You crazy.
Yes.
You crazy fool.
Number two, the Miiverse is actually sort of awesome. So the Miiverse, if you haven't been following Nintendo news closely, you probably have no idea what it is. Yep. It's essentially Nintendo's answer to Xbox Live and the PSN mixed with a social network. And this has been tried a lot. Like Xbox will be like, we have Twitter. You can slowly plot out a tweet from your avatar.
Yeah. Or
stupidly.
We've got these Xbox Live groups and you can like watch movies with your group.
And they've always been so forced. Yeah. Nintendo with the Miiverse has created one so it looks like so effortless.
There's no effort.
Effervescently.
As if no effort was applied.
Effortlessly. Wow.
Woo. God, I need sleep.
We both do.
I'm on a glass
effortless
of wine.
Effort. Shut the fuck up.
They did it so seamlessly.
Yeah.
And you're able to just like post to this message board that's individual for every game. You can ask for help. People pretty quickly will actually answer you. You can show doodles. And the coolest thing is in New Super Mario Bros. U, the actual posts are related to where you are when you post them, and they show up in the game. So if one of your friends posts a funny picture of a boss that you just beat, you'll see it as you get to that mission. It's just a super fluid experience, and thinking about how that can be expanded into other games, imagining that in like Zelda, Call of Duty, anything, when it's actually fully integrated, it in the same way that Xbox forces you to play on Xbox 360 because that's where your friends and your achievements are, I could see like – and it's in our review, which it's like playing on the Xbox. It's like if I want to see how far my friend got, I either need to ask them or slowly look through and compare achievements, which is kind of archaic.
Yeah.
And this, it's like, oh, I can see they left a note on the last level. They obviously got there. Like, it's such a seamless effortless. I keep getting rid of the ET and effortless. Yeah. Effortless. Fuck.
And the thing I like about it is it has this...
Louis C.K.
It has this... fuck God.
It has a fuck
background.
God.
What am I... Screensaver. It has a screensaver-like quality to it where there's something very placid and sublime about just like watching it. Like I would throw that on my TV.
Just leave it there.
You see fairly... decent. A lot of the doodles.
I looked into it a little. It's the top rated ones currently. So if one of the possible like home screens is just all of the games you've played and the top rated comments from those games.
Yeah.
Or I think it's actually just the most populated games. Mm-hmm. So it's just like people are like really cool illustrations just popping up and like funny quotes about the game just popping up nonstop dynamically. And you know Nintendo isn't paying that close attention because every so often like a pop-up will be like, I can't figure out how to use the Miiverse. Like, I'm sure Nintendo didn't be like, promote!
Right. They're too busy getting rid of all the penises people are calling.
Yeah, I got one almost immediately.
Oh, really?
Yeah, from a friend, actually. Oh. It said Happy Thanksgiving, though, so. It was nice.
But yeah, I'm sure the algorithm behind that is quite sophisticated.
Yeah. So that's number two.
I was not expecting the Miiverse to be...
No one was. Because honestly, Nintendo did a terrible... They were like, look, here's Mario, and you can walk around, and there's a note from your friend saying good work. It's like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I remember prior to this coming out, I think Reggie said something like, oh, man, the Miiverse is just going to blow people away. And I'm like, God, you are such a tool.
But
and
it does.
In fact, it's really... I can't describe it. You have to experience it.
The caveat... Yeah, I understand now why Nintendo sucked ass at trying to explain it. The caveat being the Miiverse is still only like half done. You can tell that it's half done.
But that's also kind of exciting because it's really cool right now.
It is.
And there's obviously a lot of room where it can grow.
And hopefully it does.
Yeah.
Number one,
Bum-ba-da-da.
The hardware's future looks bright. And this is mostly speaking to the software that's already confirmed for it.
Yes, yeah.
So
this
first,
is the slide dedicated to Bayonetta 2. Just say it.
So Bayonetta 2 is a Wii U exclusive. And before you get all pissed off about it, I'll say that you have to stop that because no one else was going to publish Bayonetta 2.
Sega
said no.
Think of it as a rescue job, not a denying.
That's like being like, you shouldn't be allowed to have that dog that you rescued from the kennel that they were about to put down.
Somebody else could have had that dog. Everybody could have owned that dog.
That dog should have lived in the YMCA.
This game was not going to come out, and now it is, and Nintendo is publishing it. You also have Pikmin. Kind of to go back to the Miiverse a little, imagining what the Miiverse can do for an Animal Crossing is incredible. You could literally, they could actually just make a neighborhood with all of your friends in it with little pop-ups about like stuff that's happened in their town.
And there's also the Game & Watch or Game & Wario.
Game & Wario, which I'm sort of torn between because it's not WarioWare at all.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the Wonderful 101, which is basically Pikmin plus Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's a pretty good description of it.
And Monster Hunter. Like, people can finally play Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate and see if they actually like that weird thing.
We're also getting a lot of very solid indie titles.
Yeah, so Little Inferno, which I downloaded just because I was looking at it and I'm like, wait, this looks familiar. And then I remembered when the guy from who made Henry Hatsworth's Puzzling Adventure, which was an amazing DS game. Like, seriously,
nobody played.
Yeah, no one played it. And it was freaking amazing. Left and joined with the people who made World of Goo to make a new game. This is that new game. And I'm actually kind of – one of the reasons I haven't written the review is because I can't figure out how to write the review without spoiling everything.
And you've been busy as fuck.
That too. But let me just say, if you have a Wii U, buy it immediately. Mm. It may not be worth the $15, but you should still spend that money because it is so good. And I can't say anything more without ruining why it's so good.
But looking off even further into the future, like – you know, I am a Nintendo E3 press conference junkie. Like, that's all that's what I really look forward to at E3. And so, you know, next E3,
E3, they may not disappoint the hell out of
you. Yeah, exactly.
2 years ago, they had the best E3 ever. Yep. Last E3 was the worst they've had
Nintendo
in a long time.
Nintendo Land hurt me. It took me.
2 years ago, weren't they talking about the vitality sensor?
No, that was 3 years ago. Two years ago was when they announced Donkey Kong, Country Returns,
Epic Yarn.
Metroid Other M, which ended up sucking, but it was the year that they were like, they actually said, like, do we bring back old franchises, start new ones, or partner with mature developers?
Yeah, yeah.
We do all of them. Fucking roll it!
Go to fucking hell, asshole.
I think Penny Arcade did a comic that was just Reggie being like, new Donkey Kong, new Metroid, new Kirby, Santa Claus is real, at our booth, giving out hand jobs. One up. It's like, that's pretty much how Nintendo's press conference went.
So, at this year's E3, while...
I was totally unemployed during this.
You missed all of this.
I missed it.
That's
why.
You missed the free hand jobs from Santa.
I missed the free hand jobs.
This coming E3 of 2013, while Microsoft will, I predict, at least tease their next system.
Bold prediction there, Henry Gilbert.
Nintendo can just go, hey, I bet you guys liked all those launch games. Well, here's Mario. Here's Star Fox. Here's Metroid. Here's Zelda. This is everything. Like
probably won't do that.
We are, for the second week in a row, blowing our wad.
I really feel like Nintendo will. Nintendo, it depends on how much they've learned their lesson, but I am very confident that they will at least show off like one or two of those. Probably not Zelda.
I'd like to think that the reason why they were so quiet with the Wii towards the last couple of years is because they've just been pumping ridiculous resources into getting out
but
all these.
One of the issues Nintendo has though is they're like, it's like, where's that new Smash Brothers? Oh, the guy who has to make Smash Brothers is busy working on Kid Icarus. And it's like, you can't have someone else do that. Yeah. Oh no, he can only do one thing at a time. It's like, stop being Japanese.
Okay, all right. Smash Brothers though. I 100% guarantee this is my E3 lock prediction. You will see the new Mario, the new 3D Mario at E3, and Smash Brothers at E3 at the very least. And
I don't think you're going to see Smash Brothers.
You will either see Zelda, Metroid, or Star Fox there as well.
All right. I think you'll see one of those three. I don't think Smash Brothers, I think they started it tomorrow.
They're going to have Smash Bros. I promise you they will have Smash
Bros. I hope so. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty bright future.
Yeah, and it's,
that's a pretty bright future.
Thank you for bringing it back around. But yeah, the Wii U, there are a lot of reasons to be super excited for it. And for everyone naysaying it, bear in mind that it probably has a better situation at launch than any console in recent memory. Yep. It could fail horribly, but that doesn't change the fact that the launch lineup and the included software at launch and the price point aren't better than the 360, the PS3 was, the 3DS, the Vita, all of those. They could tomorrow be like, we fucked up, we're done.
Yeah.
But at launch, they did a good job, and that's one of the reasons why I think that Nintendo has a shot at taking it all this gen. Or they'll just fucking roll over. I don't know.
I don't know either. I totally.
So we have a ton of coverage on the site about that. We have our review.
When is this going? I don't even know when the show is going up.
This show, I don't know. When are we going to put the show up?
Friday, why not?
Friday. No, let's do Thursday.
Okay, fine.
Thursday?
I'll set it to post. Well, you know what? Here's the thing. If you're listening to this on Wednesday, that means that you downloaded it off iTunes because we didn't actually post it on the site.
Oh.
We're just going to post it on iTunes and WordPress, and so you can download it if you're like RSS or whatever. And then on like Thursday or Friday or something, we'll post it on the site.
Yep. All right.
But you're getting it a little early.
This should tell you that you should subscribe on iTunes.
That's right.
And that you should also review us on iTunes.
Huh? Yeah, there you go.
And make sure you specifically call out how much, like the reason you love listening is because how much Henry hates Mario in the comments.
I'll know that you're
really
listening.
Slander Henry Gilbert.
Yeah, at least some libel.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a little. Not a lot. Right.
Is libel print? I thought libel was spoken.
No, libel is print.
Okay.
Slander
I remember spoken. That from That's a right. joke in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the community segment.
Right. So last week we have our final Best Buy sponsorship dealio.
I heard that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Henry, pay attention to this.
All right.
I heard that technically it is possible to go to Best Buy and buy a copy of Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
So there are reasons why you should go to Best Buy and buy Call of Duty Black Ops 2. First, Best Buy has the word best right in the title.
You can't argue that.
So
why would you argue that?
There are ways in which you could buy the game, but why would you go and buy anything other than the best buy for that game?
Well, I mean,
like, it's the best experience you're going to get.
I mean, technically, you could stop at GameStop.
You too. You could.
I'm just saying.
Two.
It's a good game.
Best Buy, if you buy at Best Buy, that is the same as supporting small businesses.
That's,
hear me out.
Okay.
Because when I was a kid, Best Buy and Circuit City were moving into town and they were putting out of business all the local mom and pop shops. So now Amazon is moving in and putting out of business Best Buy. Therefore, Best Buy is the small business
mom and
pop shop.
So the enemy of my enemy
point.
Is my friend.
And if you want to support your community, go and buy this game at Best Buy. Three. If you go to Best Buy and buy Call of Duty Black Ops 2, you can also pick up, you know, like a washing machine.
Or a Wii U.
No, you could go pick up like a washing machine.
That's true.
You can't do at GameSpot.
You know what else
Stop.
You should do? If you wait, no.
I totally fucked that up.
Good work.
Yeah.
But I mean, you could also buy a few dozen issues of AtGamer.
Yeah.
Which I'd recommend.
Those come with
go buy some AtGamer with your Call of Black Ops 2.
Those have coupons for other games in them.
Yeah. And your dishwasher.
Yes.
So those are three solid reasons why you should go buy Black Ops 2.
What we're saying is, and let me just get this out.
Okay.
This episode of Radio Radar is brought to you by Best Buy,
right.
Where you can pre-order a washing machine now. That's all. That's all we're saying. That's all we're saying.
Up for grabs this week are a PS3 copy.
Wait. What freezers, Henry?
Have you seen those fridges that have TVs in them?
Really? No.
I've seen those gas pumps that have TVs
in them. Have you seen the there's fridges and freezers that have like iPhone controls where you could actually like check with a camera inside what's in your fridge?
Wow.
Whoa.
That's not bad. Can I get that at Best Buy?
I think that's a thing. Or you can just like you type in on your screen what you're putting in your fridge. And there's also ovens that you can control with your iPhone, so you can start preheating it on your way home.
That's not bad.
I think
welcome
LG.
Welcome to the future.
Yeah, welcome to the future. You're going to burn your house down.
And anyway.
Thanks.
So question of the week is, what game series should get an FPS spinoff?
I got some. I said Mass Effect, and a few of the commenters were right on board with me.
Yeah, yeah. So we got two winners, either a 360 or a PS3 version of the game. Will go your way. 18 only, US only. 18
you can only win once a year.
You can only win once a year.
And you have to play with me online.
Right.
If you buy the 360 code.
I think that's right. Anyway, Billy May Share, Grand Theft Auto. I think that game could make an awesome FPS with storyline and freeform. You could have a blast. Imagine when you get frustrated on a mission, you have an entire city to explore and wreak havoc on. If the FPS mechanics are well implemented, you could have a kick-ass game on your hands.
Yes.
I wouldn't do first-person driving, though.
I would. Go all in.
Go all
Make
in.
It on the Wii U. You have to keep looking at the pad.
Do you ever play GTAs with, like, the cinematic camera angles on driving?
I love doing that because it makes it so hard.
Yeah, you can't control it.
But you have to do it every so often.
I do it for 40 seconds of every GTA I play.
But you do it for, like, 3 seconds at a time.
Yes.
Every few minutes.
0101 Cyber... No, Cry Back. Jesus Christ. The font in which we have people's usernames is just unreadable on the internet. Anyway, FPS spinoff of Star Wars The Force Unleashed. That's just because I generally like to see Star Wars FPS using blasters and sabers in first person. So
they want a New Republic Commando, to which I say to you, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So are they the winners?
No. One of the winners.
One of them.
And this is slightly ironic. Hestar, how about a Final Fantasy FPS? Now, hear me out. Square has been trying to expand the Final Fantasy brand out there more this gen, and I think this game would do that. I know what you're saying. Have you seen the latest MMO? Now, hear me out. Just imagine a Fallout-ish Oblivion-type game, but set in the Final Fantasy lore. They could go the dark route where a kingdom is in ruins thanks to Guardian forces destroying everything, and you have to go around killing them before they destroy the world completely. Just imagine walking around, exploring, and boom... Eifler comes out from nowhere. That great Final Fantasy music starts blasting, getting smacked around like a rag doll.
See, the issue is that game would take Square 50 years to make.
Well, here's why.
I just want to give a copy of Black Ops to a Final Fantasy fan.
I think that's not a bad idea, but here's why Square wouldn't do it is because Square loves to design beautiful, like, main characters to their games. And so they would work that hard on somebody you would never see except in, like, cutscenes. They'd hate to do that.
Or there would just be a lot of cutscenes. Who else won?
Final winner, also a joke entry. Not a joke entry. A real entry.
Real strong. Like bull.
Sway in with some numbers being represented of letters. I have always thought that My Little Pony was worthy of a first-person shooter spinoff.
It's fair.
There are several concepts that make this plausible. Let me explain them. One. These ponies are obviously endowed with magical powers.
Every pony is.
Therefore, it is my assumption that we could easily create a main weapon through their unicorn horn. It could fire lasers, and if it overheats, rainbows spurt from it until it is about to be fired again.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wait a second. The ponies in My Little Ponies do not have unicorn horns.
Some of them do.
Not all of them, though.
But the main character could.
Fluttershy doesn't.
Going to be the main character.
Fuck.
Just find one with a unicorn horn. Two. Again, I come back to the unicorn horn.
Seriously, hold on.
Wait,
Fluttershy. I have no time for somebody who mumbles.
In general,
as a practice, somebody who mumbles, I have no time for them. And so, on the record, fuck Fluttershy. But go on.
I like Fluttershy.
Again, I come back to the unicorn horn. It is a viable melee weapon, such as a knife in any FPS. It is also brutal based upon its serrated natural design.
I'm imagining clicking the right stick and just seeing your character's head
go right
into someone's chest.
Three, there is no need for sprint, for we are playing unicorn horses with magical powers. This means that game balance and multiplayer is much easier to maintain. More balance equals more fun for all players. Four!
I feel like Twilight Sparkle would be the best.
Wide open mats with vegetation allow for players who want to use the unicorn laser rifle to fight over long distances. Also, those who prefer close combat can use foliage for cover across most points on the maps, always keeping unicorn laser snipers on guard.
Mm-hmm.
Five. There is much room for DLC expansions, whether
Huge.
You are for DLC and not. It's opportunity for expansion. For example, the first DLC would be well worth the $15 fee. It would be titled Dark Side of the Moon. and would introduce four new Dark-themed maps on top of a new faction called Dark Moon. Also included would be 15 new unicorn horn attachments for both ranged and melee players.
That's good.
Examples include A, barbed horn causes bleeding on target when meleeed by horn. B, optical rainbow scope allows for clearer and quicker target acquisition for ranged players.
That checks out.
And six. Six! This is just a taste of what could be accomplished by giving My Little Pony an FBS reboot. It needs your deepest consideration.
I agree. That's...
There we go. So Swayan and Hester email radioradar@gamesradar.com. I have no idea how we're going to figure out which one of you gets the 360 and which one of you gets the PS3 version.
The first person to respond gets the version of choice.
Right.
And the second person to respond gets the other version.
Yeah,
and we pray
or
that
some
it
of the other junk that we got, out. And then yeah. We'll just keep giving it.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. You'll get your own.
You'll get yours.
You'll get yours. That's
trust
the correct
us.
Term.
And thank us. You for entering for Black Ops 2.
Yes, and... Games. So be sure to follow us on
Wait, no
Twitter.
Question this week?
Oh, yeah, we have a question of the week this week.
The question of the week is, if you were to play Call of Duty Black Ops 2...
Which store would you buy it at?
No. Give us your most nonsensical knee-jerk review for it. I want you to give me your worst review for Black Ops 2.
Okay, I like this.
Playing off of the feature that we wrote, Call of Duty Black Ops 2, most nonsensical knee-jerk rage-filled user reviews.
Also, caveat, you don't have to have played it, because the majority of the people who wrote those probably didn't.
No, you don't have to play it.
So I have mine.
So we just want the most insane critical review of Black Ops 2.
Let me get this, just in case you're wondering, we'll give some examples. So my personal nonsensical review, obviously it's a 0 out of 10.
Right.
Reason being, I feel like the game has become too slow. I don't know why they're catering to all these casual noobs.
Right.
I think they need to go back to the purest form, which is nonstop run and gun. Seriously, this thing is slow and boring.
Right.
All right. Well, I have one too.
Oh, good.
0 out of 5. Lols. This has sucked since Infinity Ward got fired. Treyarch is the sucksor. Go to hell, Activision.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Bleep, bleep, bleep.
Mine is a 0 out of 11
Ooh,
because he felt like it could have been 11. Fanboys, be damned. This game is awesome. I want more because this is amazing.
I don't understand how reviews work.
F yeah!
Yes. And that was from a...
Mr. PlayStation face with the starter edition. It's a really weird username.
My person's just the avatar of the 1 out of 5 fun factor in a game pro, just like the frowny face. And that's our question of the week. Enter to win a prize. We'll send you a list of games you can choose from. We have a ton because of the holiday season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You will be taken care of.
Oof,
yeah. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, GR Radio Radar, and Games Radar on Twitter, which is just Games Radar. And follow us on Facebook, or like us rather, which is just Games Radar. Also, go to the website and click around, read some stuff, comment on some stuff. And
tell your friends. Go tell
your friends.
Might
and
I
make sure
our Black Friday guide. Since you're going to hear this before Black Friday.
Yeah, and you can also be sure to go to iTunes, find our podcast, and subscribe, like, share, comment,
basically,
star.
If you like the show, help a brother out.
Yeah, exactly. At least one brother.
At least
we got to get ahead of the other of our evil competitors and be ranked much higher.
Exactly. That's how it works. That's how we get paid. How high we rank on iTunes.
This is a commission-based gig.
Yes. And we'll see you next week. Happy Thanksgiving. This episode of Radio Radar was brought to you by Best Buy. You can pick up Call of Duty Black Ops 2 at Best Buy or BestBuy.com now. All right, so let's see what cards we have.
Which
we get out of here as quickly as possible.
Ridiculous.
Which is more ridiculous?
Term. Ooh, all right.
I'm torn between two.
Pick one, because I want to leave.
All right.
Guitar Hero.
Why is Guitar Hero?
You know
ridiculous?
Why Guitar Hero is ridiculous? I mean, take away just like the fun aspect of the gameplay and just think about that objectively for what you're doing. You are strumming You're clicking on a plastic guitar along to notes on the screen. Just like without the gameplay, if somebody just saw you having no idea what Guitar Hero was doing, you staring at a TV, clicking on a plastic guitar that is strapped to your body.
Even more than that, if you really think about it, Guitar Hero is like the most basic game. It's like, oh, yellow. I hit yellow button.
Yeah.
It's like it could essentially have been done.
Like Simon Says.
Without the music, it could have been done on like the Atari with fairly few changes.
Yep.
It's essentially no different than like a platformer.
Yep.
And yet, for some reason, it took like seven generations to get there.
Yep.
I guess that makes it ridiculous.
Yep. I picked Yoshi's Island because just it's filled with so many crazy batshit things. Like there's a monkey that spits watermelon seeds at you. There are fuzzy puffballs that get you high.
Touch Fuzzy Get Dizzy might be the best video game drug illusion
that's pretty good
ever.
There's a giant one of the bosses, you beat him not by doing enough damage, but by hitting him enough times until his pants come off, and then he's embarrassed and he shrinks away.
Such a Nintendo thing.
It's such a weird head trip of a game that I think it's ridiculous.
See, I went with Lemmings. Because so the idea that lemmings are suicidal already is just not true.
Okay.
I read somewhere that it's like it was started from a Disney documentary that someone was just like, let's just fucking knock some lemmings off a cliff.
So IRL, lemmings don't actually.
No, they don't.
To prove it in the Disney documentary, they actually just shove lemmings off a cliff. Like,
wow.
To show they will follow each other, but they won't kill themselves. And the entire idea about the video game Lemmings is like these lemmings are marching. They'll march off a cliff and then follow each other. So the idea that like that Disney documentary, which was just a blatant lie, was so influential that somebody built an entire game series that you need to actually use lemmings to do anything to prevent them from killing themselves.
I'm sure it was somebody famous.
Is deeply morbid.
Sid Meier?
No, it was also the first game of the creators of Grand Theft Auto, which is also pretty crazy.
It was made
David
by
Jones.
DMA Design.
Yeah. Dave DMA. Jones.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could call it a spiritual precursor to Grand Theft Auto.
You could.
I won't, though. That would be no. None of us should.
All right.